Many people have traveled to countries that maybe have less wealth than we do, than we have here in the United States, often say that it's a good thing to do because it gives you a different perspective on things. And people that have traveled to maybe third world type countries, you'll often hear comments like that. And sometimes it's almost kind of shocking to see how different life can be for people in other places and other parts of the world. My uncle was a missionary down in Peru, Robert Molstead, and his children, some of you remember Kathy Bruss, President Bruss's wife. Kathy was telling me once that when they were living in Peru, when they had just arrived there and she was going to grade school, there was a little Peruvian girl that would walk to school with her every day and hardly even had shoes, and their house had a dirt floor and everything else. And every day on the way back from school, Kathy noticed that this little girl would pick up a brick from a construction site and put it in her backpack as they walked home. And she asked her about it one day, why she always went and grabbed a brick off of a construction site. And she said her dad had ordered her to do that because they were slowly building a room onto their house. And this little girl was stealing a brick a day to be able to try and create a wall for their home. My Uncle Robert also told me that once that he had gone to see a family about an upcoming baptism and talked to them and petted the family dog and so on. And weeks later, when the baptism dinner came, he went to the house and the food they had was the family dog. And just what a different perspective they had on things over there. In the United States, we live in the top tier of not only wealth in the world, but in particular when it comes to food, we live in the top tier of quality of food, affordability, and availability. To such an extent that here in the United States, we waste about 40% of our food supply just gets thrown away. There's no other nation that comes close to how badly we treat the excellent food that we have at our disposal, literally our disposal. Talk with your grandparents and, or maybe if possible, great-grandparents of what life was like for them way back in their childhoods, and you'll quickly learn just how well we have advanced in our standard of living. Probably everyone in this room has advanced tremendously from our great-grandparents, at least, standard of living, even here in the United States. And yet, isn't it interesting that in our culture today, we still feel behind? We kind of feel like we're still missing out, like there's still something lacking, like times are tough. And it shows how we can become very warped by the standard of living that we're blessed to live in and how things go around us. This creates a challenge for us. I know it certainly does for me when it comes to spiritual matters and as far as being heavenly minded and having the right and proper focus in my life. It's not sinful for us to have possessions. They come from the hand of God. It's not sinful for you and me to even have abundance. It's not sinful for us to have a wonderful food supply and good income and time to take vacations and recreation and all the things that we are allowed to do. In and of and by themselves, these things are not sinful. But how we treat that wealth, what our hearts do with it or don't do with it, that is often where the trouble comes in. There are many very wealthy individuals in Scripture. I remember one of my seminary professors talking about Abraham. He said he was today would be considered probably a very, very wealthy rancher, moving large herds of cattle back and forth between countries. Isaac, Jacob, Job, King David. Many, many believers, faithful believers, had a lot of wealth. So it's not the riches that's the problem. It's what we potentially do with it in terms of how it consumes our heart and how it causes us to look at life. Martin Luther had a famous saying that you can even hold a penny up to your eye and it'll block your view of heaven. So it doesn't take much. Greed is something, and avarice and materialism is something that can creep into our hearts no matter what level of income, where we are living in life. And the problem I know that I notice in myself is I have a tendency to be less grateful for the blessings that I do get to enjoy. And it's easy for me to forget that ultimately everything comes from the hand of God. The Lord who says, the earth is mine and everything in it. The earth is mine and everything in it. And the fact that you and I get to enjoy these things needs to be done with a heart that recognizes that truth, that it still ultimately belongs to God, who could take it away anytime he wanted. And the fact that we enjoy it and get to benefit from all of this is still due to his great blessing for us. So every day, God continues to just allow these earthly, temporal blessings in life to be poured out on us. And he wants us to recognize that these come from his hand and to give him gratitude. And yet every time I run across a text that deals with issues like this, I feel guilty because I know that for myself, it's so easy for me to forget God's hand in all of this. And Saint Bernard once said this about ingratitude. He said, ingratitude is an evil that is dangerous and is capable of quenching the springs of God's grace. That's an interesting comment. Ingratitude can have a way of possibly even suffocating out our faith and our appreciation for the grace that we have from God. Now, the text that we just read through together is this beautiful catalog of blessings from Psalm 103. We just have a few verses at the beginning. And David holds this before us, and God the Holy Spirit caused this to be recorded in such a way that we would look at everything we have in life sort of through the prism or the perspective of the cross and what our Savior has done for us. Just take a look at this psalm again. He begins, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So from the deepest part of our being, all that is within me, recognize the blessings that come from God. He says then, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And he begins, who forgives all your iniquities. That's the greatest and most essential blessing that we have from God, is ultimately looking at everything through the view of Christ and what our Savior has done for us. Without that, we would have no future. Without that, we would not have any good standing before God. The fact that God has been so gracious and kind to every one of us, all of the sins that we have inside of us, our greed and lack of thankfulness and every type of sin there is, the guilt for that was put on Christ, his Son. And he paid and atoned for all of that for every one of us. That's been wiped away. So God looks at you as his holy, perfect child. And through faith in that Savior, you have the promise of coming to heaven. So this is the first and foremost issue through which every blessing we have in this life or the one to come needs to be viewed and seen. Remember the story of the paralytic who was dropped in the room in front of Jesus because the room was so crowded. And here's this paralyzed man. We think about what a sad life he probably had to live on his cot. And yet the first thing Jesus addresses with him is to say to him, your sins are forgiven. There's nothing of greater importance than understanding that this is how God has dealt with us through Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And then he goes on. David says, who heals all your diseases. Think of all the sicknesses you and I have had in our lives. All the little cuts on our body, little surgeries maybe, things that have gone wrong in all the different ways through the advances of medicine that God allows us to be healed. Who redeems your life from destruction. He takes you to your future grave. And he has you look at that not as a final stop to everything in life, but rather as just a beginning to the wonderful life in heaven that is coming for all of us. Just imagine what it means for your future, that even the worst thing that this world can give us and the devil can bring to us, to our bodies, is to die. And God takes that and turns it into a doorway to everlasting life. He goes on, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He puts this on you like royalty, his tender mercy and kindness, how graciously God has chosen to deal with us. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Think of some of the meals that I've been privileged to eat in life. How selective I can be when I go and find food for myself. Just how God daily and richly provides us with all of these blessings so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So David instructs you and me, no matter what our station is in life, no matter where we are in the economic status, and no matter where we are in all of that, to view the blessings you have through the cross. And when you do that, when you view things from a heavenly perspective, it will always cause you to be grateful, no matter where you are on that ladder. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I want to close with one verse from the book of Isaiah, and God says this, behold, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered. They will not come to mind. Instead, and I love this, rejoice and celebrate forever because of what I am creating. Isn't that neat? All the blessings we have in this life, and they can be fun and we can enjoy them, but they just go away and they don't last. But I love that, to celebrate forever. That's what we have because of our Savior. Celebrate forever. How wonderful that will be.